Chapter 3, in which Jared finds out things he doesn't want to know. The grove was the same as he remembered it, tree-rimmed with mushrooms in the center, but this time when Jared stepped into the middle, nothing happened. No branches laced together to trap him, no roots wound around his ankles, and no elves appeared to scold him. "Hello?" Jared yelled. He waited a moment, but the only reply was the distant calling of birds. Frustrated, Jared paced back and forth. "Is anyone here? I'm kind of in a hurry." Still nothing. Minutes passed. Looking at the ring of mushrooms, he had an overwhelming urge to strike out at the elves. If only they hadn't taken Arthur. He'd just lifted his foot when he heard a soft voice from the tree line.
"Reckless child, what are you doing in this place?"
It was the green-eyed female elf, her hair tinged with more reds and browns than it had been before. And her gown was now deep amber and gold, like summer giving way to fall. Her voice sounded more sad than angry.
"Please," Jared said. "Mulgarath has my mother. I have to save her. You have to let me talk to Arthur."
"What should I care for one mortal?"
She turned toward the trees.
"Do you know how many of my own people have been lost? How many dwarves, old as the stones beneath our feet, are no more?"
"I saw it," Jared said. "We were there. Please, I'll give you anything. I'll stay here if you want."
She shook her head.
"The only thing you had that was of value to us is lost."
Jared felt relief and terror at the same time. He needed to see Arthur, but he had nothing else to offer.
"We didn't have the guide," he said. "We couldn't have given it to you then, but maybe we can get it back now."
The green-eyed elf turned back with a scowl.
"I have no further interest in your tales."
I can prove it."
Jared reached back into his hood, pulled out Thimbletack, and set him down in the grass. "I told you our house brownie had the book. This is Thimbletack." The little brownie took off his hat and made a low bow, trembling slightly.
"Great lady, I know how this must look, but it is true I took the book."
"Your manners become you."
She glanced at them both and then was silent for a moment. Jared shifted impatiently as Thimbletack climbed up Jared's leg and slid back into his hiding place. The green-eyed elf's silence unnerved Jared, but he forced himself to stay quiet. This might be their last chance to convince her. Finally, she continued.
"Our time to punish and to command is past. The moment we feared is upon us. Mulgarath has gathered a great army and is using the guide to make it even more fearsome."
Jared nodded, although he was puzzled. He couldn't think of anything Mulgarath could do with the guide that would make an army more dangerous. It was just a book.
"Promise me this, mortal child," the green-eyed elf said. "If Arthur's field guide comes again into your possession while you look for your mother, you will give it to us so that it can be destroyed."
Jared nodded, giddily agreeing to anything that meant he would be able to see Arthur.
"I will. I'll bring it."
"No," she said. "When it is time, we will come to you."
She pointed upward and spoke something in a strange language. A single leaf spiraled from a high branch of an old oak. It drifted slowly, as though it were falling through water instead of air.
"Your audience with Arthur Spiderwick will last as long as it takes that leaf to fall to the ground."
Jared looked up toward where she pointed. As slowly as the leaf was moving, it still seemed too fast.
"What if that isn't enough time?"
She smiled coldly.
"Time is something that neither of us has the luxury of anymore, Jared Grace."
But Jared barely noticed, because walking toward them from the trees was a man in a tweed coat with graying patches of hair on the sides of his balding head. Leaves swept around him and dropped in a carpet in front of him so that his feet never touched the ground. He adjusted his spectacles nervously and peered at Jared. Jared could not help grinning. Arthur Spiderwick looked just like the picture in the library. Now everything would be all right. His great-great-uncle would explain what to do, and that would be that.
Uncle Arthur? Jared began. I'm Jared.
I do not believe I could possibly be your uncle, child,
Arthur said stiffly.
To the best of my knowledge, my sister has no sons whatsoever.
Well, actually, you're my great-great-uncle, Jared said, suddenly unsure of himself. But that's not important.
That's nonsense.
This wasn't going the way it was supposed to at all.
You've been gone a long time, Jared explained carefully.
Arthur scowled.
A few months, perhaps.
Thimbletack spoke up, climbing out of his hiding place and onto Jared's shoulder.
Listen to the boy. It is the only way. We cannot afford to delay.
Arthur peered down at the brownie and blinked twice.
Hello, old man. How I have missed you. Is my Lucy well? What about my wife? Will you give them a message for me?
Listen, Jared interrupted. Mulgarath has my mother, and you're the only one who knows what to do.
Me? Arthur asked. Why should I know what to do?
He pushed his spectacles higher.
I would imagine that I would advise... Wait, how old are you?
9, Jared replied, dreading what would come next.
I would say that you should stay safe and leave the handling of such dangerous creatures to your elders.
Didn't you hear me? Jared shouted. Mulgarath has my mother. There are no elders.
I understand, Arthur said. However, you must...
No, you don't understand. Jared couldn't stop himself. It felt too good to finally just scream at someone. You don't even know how long you've been here. Lucinda is older than you now. You don't know anything. Arthur opened his mouth as if to speak and then closed it. He looked pale and shaky, but Jared found it hard to care. His eyes burned with unshed tears. On the other side of the ring of mushrooms, the single leaf was drifting ever closer to the ground.
Mulgarath is a very dangerous ogre, Arthur said quietly.
He didn't look at Jared when he spoke.
Even the elves do not know how to stop him.
He has a dragon, too, Jared said. Arthur looked up suddenly with interest.
A dragon? Really?
Then he shook his head and his shoulders slumped.
I can't tell you how to deal with any of this. I'm sorry, I simply don't know.
Jared wanted to plead, to demand, but no words came. Arthur took a step closer, and when he spoke, his voice was very gentle.
Child, if I always knew what to do, would I be here, trapped with the elves, never to see my own family again?
I guess not, Jared said, closing his eyes. The leaf had reached his height. It wouldn't be long now before his time was up.
I can't give you a solution, Arthur said. All I can give you is information. I wish I could do more.
He continued.
Goblins run in small packs, usually no more than 10. They follow Mulgarath because they're afraid of him. Otherwise, you would never see so many in one place. Without him leading them, they would fall into squabbling. But even with him, they probably aren't very organized. As for ogres, Mulgarath is typical of their kind. They're master shapeshifters, clever, sly, and cruel. Strong, too, unfortunately. One flaw that might help you is that they are often vain and prone to bragging.
Like in the Puss in Boots story? Jared asked.
Exactly.
Arthur's eyes gleamed as he spoke.
Ogres think a lot of themselves and want you to think a lot of them as well. They love to hear themselves talk, and the normal protections, like that garment you're wearing, are next to useless. They're too powerful. As for dragons, well, I must confess, everything I know about them was culled from other researchers.
Other researchers? You mean there are other people researching fairies?
Arthur nodded. All over the world.
Did you know there are fairies on every continent?
There are variations, of course, much like with any other animal. But I digress. The subtype of dragon is probably of the European worm variety, most common to this region. Very poisonous. I remember one account where a dragon lived on cow's milk. It got huge, and its venom poisoned everything, scorched the grass, and made the water undrinkable.
Wait, Jared exclaimed. Our water burns your mouth if you drink it. Our well water.
a very bad sign. Arthur sighed heavily and shook his head. Dragons are quick, but they can be killed the same as any other creature. The difficulty, of course, is the poison. It grows stronger as the dragon grows, and only a very small number of creatures are fast enough and brave enough to go after a dragon, the way a mongoose attacks a cobra. Jared looked at the leaf. It was almost to the ground. Arthur followed the look. My time talking to you was almost done. Will you give Lucinda a message for me?
Sure, of course, Jared nodded. Tell her.
But whatever Arthur was going to say was lost in the leaves that whirled around him, obscuring him from view. A tornado of leaves circled upward and then nothing. Jared looked for the elf, but she was gone as well. As Jared left the boundary of the grove, he saw Byron clawing in the dirt. Simon sat on the griffin's back, petting the creature to calm it. Behind him, Mallory held the dwarven sword aloft, the metal gleaming in the sun. Hogsqueal sat at the beast's neck, looking positively miserable.
"What are you doing here?" Jared asked. "I thought you said you trusted me."
"And we do," said Mallory. "That's why we waited here instead of rushing in and hauling you out. We even have a plan." Simon held up a loop of rope. "Come on, you can tell us what you found out from the elves on the way."
"So, now it's your turn to trust us," said Mallory.